we too make spiritual journeys. And actually, the spiritual journey of a human being occurs in four stages. The very first is their journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Actually, they call them in Arabic Suyur al-Arba, the four journeys. And the people of Tasawwuf speak about these in detail. And actually, if you reflect upon your life, you'll see that in various stages and in various ways, you also have gone through these four journeys. So the first one is called Sayr ilallah, the journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what that means is that a person's life changes and their mindset changes so that they then begin to make the goal of their journey in this life Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all of us have experienced that in some shape or form. There was a time when we were working towards the dunya, we were caught up in the life of the dunya, many of us had not changed through this mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then all of a sudden Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows upon us this change in our lives, when Islam becomes something important. And the first step in that is that we begin then to focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's called Sayr ilallah. The second stage of the journey is called Sayr fillah. And that's traveling in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now you don't literally travel in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but what it means is that you travel in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, you become so much entangled in the remembrance and love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you can't think about anything else. And for those of you who have gone through that initial connection with Islam, that happens to you. For example, you were far away from Islam, your life changes, you then get into the deen, and now you begin to change your life and you begin to travel towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then there comes this period of time when all you do is think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can't stop yourself actually. You get into prayer, tears descend, and shiver, and electricity is running through your spine. You talk to people, you're thinking about Allah. Whenever you sit and look at the sky, you're thinking about Allah. So that actually happens to us when we first begin our journey in the deen. Now, we keep in mind that when you first enter or change your life, or you first come into the deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you all of these various journeys very quickly as a gift. It's sort of like a trial. But later on, it takes a tremendous degree of effort in order to truly experience these. So what happens is, when somebody becomes a Muslim or somebody changes their life to the deen, initially they experience a tremendous amount. And then all of that goes away. Unless they make a tremendous degree of sacrifice to re-attain it. So the initial turn through the journey is actually given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. The second turn that occurs is actually the more permanent one, but it requires a tremendous amount of sacrifice and a great deal of effort. So the first journey is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second journey is in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third journey is returning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's minallah. And the fourth journey is fil ashya, sayr fil ashya, in which a human being is acting like a normal person, but is deeply connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these are the stages that the Prophet ﷺ went through instantaneously. He is being introduced to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he's entering a deep remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he returns from that remembrance, but he returns connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he walks around as a human being, he interacts as a human being, he acts like a human being, but his heart is completely connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, on the level of a prophet, the states attained are unattainable by average human beings. But for us, this is the journey that we undertake in our spiritual development. We have to focus our life completely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you do so, you'll end up living a period of time of your life where you will be so concentrating and so connected to Allah that you won't be able to do anything else. And then eventually you'll descend from that state, but then you'll return as if you're a normal person, but you'll be so connected with Allah that your heart will constantly be remembering Allah. Or at least, not constantly, but as much as it's able to do so and as much as Allah permits. So that's actually the spiritual development of a human being, and on our level it occurs obviously degrees beneath what a prophet would experience, but it is part of our spiritual development. And I'm not going to go into the details here, but what I do want to highlight is that in this particular instance, the Prophet ﷺ is taking a tremendous spiritual journey. And it's the power of the angel that's squeezing him through this journey from out of this world and into the world of the unseen. The hadith then continues, and it says that the Prophet ﷺ, فَرَجَعَ بِهَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ يَرْجُفُ فُؤَادُهُ. So the Prophet ﷺ returned, and his heart was in tremendous fear. I mean, his heart was rapidly beating. He was very terrified as to what had occurred. فَدَخَلَ عَلَى خَتِيجَ بِنْتِ خُوَيْلِدٍ. And so he entered upon Khadija, who was the daughter of Khuwaylid, radiallahu anha, who was the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at this particular moment in history. Faqal. And he says, Zammiluni, Zammiluni, cover me, cover me. And so, Fazammaluha, and so they covered the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hatta zahaba anhu ar-ru', until the fear left the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or at least the intensity of the fear that was afflicting the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decreased significantly. فَقَالَ لِي خَدِيجَ. Actually, let's stop here for a second. So this actually is a very, very beautiful scene. Close your eyes and imagine, here's the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam interacting with the unseen world. He's interacting with an angel. He's become a prophet. Islam has been born. The Quran has been revealed upon his heart, the first of it. And here he comes running in extreme fear, and he comes to his wife and he begins to seek comfort in his wife. So this is actually a sunnah. To seek comfort in your family members is a sunnah. And that's exactly what the Prophet ﷺ did, the very initial stage of the deen. Then he says, cover me, cover me. And so they throw a blanket upon him. And if you just close your eyes and you imagine the Prophet ﷺ in this stage, it's very, very beautiful. Because here the Prophet ﷺ is now wrapped up. And in fact, in another occasion in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to the Prophet ﷺ as, O one who is wrapped up, O cloak, O one who is wrapped in a cloak. So, this state of the Prophet ﷺ being wrapped up in this cloak is a very, very unique characteristic of the Prophet ﷺ. In the sense that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala picked up on this characteristic and preserved it for us to recite for 1400 years and until the end of time. And so that's why you'll see, my teachers, they used to carry with them these like a cloak, and they would be wrapped up in their cloak when they would teach their ahadith. And the reason why was because they wanted to emulate this beautiful picture of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because not only did they pick up on it from this hadith, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, when he's describing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in one occasion, describes the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as O one who is clothed. And if you look at the various explications of this ayah, most of the ulama agree that this means, O one who is cloaked in a physical cloth, such as this. But it also means, according to some of the scholars, O one who is cloaked in the cloth of prophethood. Because this is when the Prophet ﷺ had become a prophet. So it's a very, very beautiful way of translating that ayah. But physically, the Prophet ﷺ would often use a cloak as a way of as part of his spiritual interaction. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also picks up, preserves this for us in the Holy Quran. And so this is why you'll often see, especially my teachers, I saw them, they would have cloaks, and they would wear their cloaks. And when I picture my teachers teaching hadith, I picture them wrapped up. They would be wrapped up, it would be freezing cold, and they would be wrapped up in this cloak, and tears would be falling from their eyes, and they would be relating hadith to us, and they would be relating stories of the various akabir and the sahaba, etc. And that's the picture that gets ingrained in my head as well. So it's just a very, very beautiful interaction with the Prophet ﷺ, his family, and then his cloak being wrapped up. And it's the cloak that brings him this peace. It's the cloak that helps him to get through this spiritual journey, and then the fear is descended from him. So you think about, you know, the first thing he asks when he returns from his family is, cover me, cloak me, put my cloak on me. And then that acts as a means of bringing tremendous peace to him. And it acts to remove the fear. So basically my point is, it's a sunnah to have a cloak. It's a sunnah to have a blanket that you wrap around yourself. فَقَالَ لِي خَتِيجَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا. So he says to Khatija, وَأَخْبَرَهَا الْخَبَرُ, and he explains to her exactly what happened. So here he sits down after he's been cloaked, and after he attains some degree of serenity. He says to his wife, radiallahu anha, everything that happened. He explains that I went up to the cave, and this unique being approached me. This unique being asked me to read, but I didn't know how to read. He squeezed me so hard, I've never been squeezed in such a manner before. And he asked me to read again. I still explained that I didn't know how to read, and he relates the entire story. And then he says to his wife, لَقَدْ خَشِيتُ عَلَى نَفْسِي. Verily, I am afraid for my soul. So, here the Prophet ﷺ is expressing his deep fear as to what has occurred. He's extremely fearful for what has just occurred. And he says it in a very, very short statement, لَقَدْ خَشِيتُ عَلَى نَفْسِي. After all of this, I am now extremely afraid for myself. That's another possibility, that he was afraid at the time of the squeezing, or the other explanation is that he is now afraid. And the reason, and then the ulama go into a discussion as to what do we mean by him being afraid for his soul. Because obviously this experience is going to now carry through with him for the next 23 years. So some ulama say that he was afraid that he may have some type of sickness. He wasn't sure what was going on. Other ulama say he was afraid that he may die from this tremendous fear. His heart was beating in such a way that he felt that it was just beyond the control of his body. And so some ulama say that it was a fear from death. And some say it was a fear from the shock of seeing an angel. And others say it was a fear of now understanding the realization of what was about to be bestowed upon him. Meaning he had some degree of understanding of the tremendous responsibility that will be bestowed upon him because of his receiving revelation and because of him being bestowed the prophethood.